I have a message on my heart today that has been burning with me for a while. And that's usually a bad sign, because if I've had a message on my heart for a while, it kind of builds up, and then I go, man, Jeremiah said, woe to me if I do not preach. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. And Paul said, woe to me if I can't preach. I've got to get it out. So I've got more to say than I think that you can possibly kind of take in. So what I'm going to try and do is be as brief as I can, but I want you to extend some grace to me. Is that fair? Because this thing's in my heart. And so I want to talk about God's testimonies create our pace. God's testimonies, our pace. And you'll see why I say our pace in a little while. It's the only acronym I could get out of the 7 points I wanted to make. But it's a good acronym, right? It's a good acronym. You try and make another acronym out of those letters, it's hard. So, as a basic presupposition, understanding this, that God spoke to his people in the Old Covenant, and obviously the principles extend into us. God spoke to Moses, and he said in Deuteronomy 6, you should diligently keep the commands of the Lord your God, and you should diligently keep his testimonies and the statutes. So keep his commands, keep his testimonies, keep his statutes. I previously had only thought that God said, keep my commands. In Deuteronomy, he says, keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes, his commands, his ordinance, and his testimonies. So there is this command to keep the testimonies. And if you, like me, I didn't realize that that was a command, keep my testimonies. And so I had not been, in the earlier part of my Christian walk, diligent to keep the testimonies about what God has been doing in my life. And I've realized that there is something here when God says, I want you to take some responsibility to remember, to keep, to administer, to use the testimonies I give you. Keep my testimonies. Because if you learn to keep the testimonies, there's this tremendous explosion of fruit and results that if you're diligent with the testimonies, if you take responsibility to watch over. So let's go to Psalm 119. A similar thing, I just want to show you, this is a few places. So the author to Psalm 119 says, how blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Verse 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. My mind, I've engaged my mind, will, and emotions to observe the testimonies of God. 146, I cried to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. So the promise, he goes, Lord, I'm in trouble, save me, and when you do, I will keep that testimony. I'll not forget what you do. I'll use that. Psalm 25, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. So here's the basic premise. We have an opportunity to keep the testimonies that God reveals among us. And so I want to investigate what does it mean to keep God's testimonies? What benefits accrue into our life, and how should we use the testimonies of God? And so I think that there are, to my reckoning, at least seven reasons why God gives testimonies among us. And if you understand why God gave a testimony, because you can just assume, well, I prayed and God answered, that's wonderful. But when you begin to understand why God gave you that testimony and how to employ that testimony, you begin to use testimonies, you begin to keep testimonies, and you begin to see the power of the expansion of the kingdom of God through your life. So as that by way of introduction, let me start with the first one. The O in our pace stands for an offer. When God gives a testimony is an offer from the God who is its source. Do you want me to do it again? When the Lord brings a miracle or a provision or a healing, and he does it here among us, it's God saying, this is something that I'm willing to do today, it's something I'm doing, and it represents a high water mark of the moving of God among us, and then this thing, and then we see a miracle. And this is God saying, hey, would you like me to do it again? And when we keep the testimonies, when we say, look, this is what God did, suddenly it kind of pins it there, and it doesn't make it the high water mark. It makes it something that we say, do it again, Lord. This is where we want to live. And so when you keep the testimonies, you start to share the testimonies, and then people go, yeah, no, that's normal. I told a testimony this morning when we were building this building. I said to the building team who were helping me, I said, look, I'm not going to sign the contract to get this built out until we have the cash in the bank. And so we had all the money we needed in the bank, and we'd set up at 5 o'clock that evening. We were about to sign the documents, and that morning the fire marshal called me and said, you need a new fancy Zhuji air conditioning system that measures the CO2 content. And I said, okay, and that was an extra $73,000. So that's 9 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock this afternoon. I need $73,000 more. And then we were about 65 people who average attendance of this church, and we'd raised $350,000 out of those people. So it wasn't like we were like, hey, you haven't given enough. In fact, the people in our church had given twice, more than twice what they had pledged. So that morning, it's not like I can go back to the people and go, come on, shake out your pockets one more time, you know. And I was walking through, this place was not built out yet. There were offices that ran down here. And I was about where Michelle Borsica, I was standing in front of the door, there was an office there, and I was praying. I was pacing around this little pole and praying and praying. And I was standing there and I got a phone call. And the person said, you know, I've had a look at my finances. And I feel like the Lord has spoken to me, and I'm going to give an extra $70,000. I was standing right there. Do it again, Lord. And when you understand that, if you keep that testimony, if you keep the testimony, it's like an offer from the one who gave the source of that testimony, saying, son, do you want me to do it again? You say, yes, sir. And so when God gives a testimony in your life, and here's the beautiful thing, when God gives a testimony in our midst, and here's the more beautiful thing, if God gives a testimony to anybody in his body, it has the same power. It's an offer. Not even people who are alive. If you read a book of a testimony of somebody who lived 100 years ago. Yeah. 2,000 years ago, you read the book of Acts. Yes. A testimony is an offer. Do you want some? Spirit of the prophecy bears testimony to Jesus. When there's a testimony, it's a spirit of prophecy. It's going, hey, this is who God is. Hey, this is who I am. Do you want some? Yes. The U stands for to unlock. Why does God give testimonies? Because he wants to unlock something. He wants to unlock faith. He wants to stir expectations. And so testimonies have the power to stir faith and to create God-honoring expectations. It was funny. We were sitting at the dinner table. We were talking to people who are not believers. And they go, very cynical about healing and miracles. And they go, nah, it never happens. And God, and these, you know, guys bordering on cynical atheists. This is rubbish. So he finally grounds to a halt. And I say, well, I was in a meeting when a woman who was born blind got baptized. And when she came up out of the water, God opened her eyes. I was in that meeting. And then she sat on the stage afterwards, and they asked her, what do you think? What do you see? And she goes, wow, men are ugly. Like, seriously, that was her comment. She was like, because obviously in her mind, men, you know, she'd built up men were obviously these mythical, gorgeous creatures, and she was very disappointed by the... Anyway, but that's beside the point. So we're sitting at this meal, and these people are like, and then I just tell a story, but I was there. And I watch it go. something unlocks in them. I don't even believe it. Something unlocked. Would you think maybe if we prayed for, maybe God would? See, God gives testimonies because he wants to unlock something in you. He wants to unlock your faith. So friends, when there's a testimony, don't just go, it's time. I think I'm just going to rush out to the restroom quickly. No, God means for a testimony to unlock something in you. It's amazing to me why we don't spend hours at that wall just reading. The sweetness of testimonies is if you just want something unlocked inside of you, just listen. Can you imagine what it was like to be with Jesus? Because the Bible says of Jesus that he did more miracles than there was space to write down. So the crowds of 15,000, 20,000 people following Jesus, and let's say that at least half of them needed a miracle. So the disciples on average probably, because it says he healed them all. And so let's say, and there were times that the disciples were so busy ministering and laying on hands that they didn't have time to eat. Right? Because the power of God's just breaking out and people are just getting healed and healed and healed, and there's this party and just dead, you know, looks like a battlefield, just bodies and the power of God and people screaming. And Jesus said, hey, come get some food, guys. So if you walked with Jesus for 3 years, you probably saw a couple of million miracles. Just miracle, miracle, miracle. That's why the Bible says, and it says, then and they went out and everybody they laid hands on saw. Because it had just been so settled in seeing testimony after testimony after testimony that it unlocked so much faith in them. Full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. Testimonies have the power. And that's why in Matthew it says Jesus said to the guy, look, Jesus was preaching, he said, I can forgive your sins, but he saw that there was knotting them up. So he said to the guy who was paralyzed, get up, take your mat and go home. And so this paralyzed guy does. And then it says, when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe. They were like, oh, wow, well, look at that. Oh, a testimony for us is not only an offer, but it's unlocking something in you. Be open to the unlocking of faith and the creation of expectation. Thirdly, the R, testimonies allow us to recognize what God is doing. A testimony is a mechanism to acknowledge what Jesus is doing and to thank him appropriately. Why does God give testimonies? Because it's like a milestone in your mind. It goes, hey, God did that. God did something here for our family. God did something for our church. You know, it's a lovely thing to me. I watch people come into our church and they go, oh, wow, this is a nice building. I go, yeah, it is. And every time I go, thank you, Lord, for the supernatural provision of something that was way above our league. It reminds me every time. I go, it's an offering of thanksgiving. Share the testimony, say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, this is the remarkable thing to me, and I keep saying this because it's the truth. If we are not diligent with keeping these testimonies, it causes a lack of thanksgiving to God. A lack of diligence with testimonies is robbing the praise and thanks of God. It drills holes into what should be just a bucket full of praise. Because what happened is, and I'll tell you the story, the first time we realized this is that we had a year that was just, God had broken in and supernaturally provided cars and vacations. And we sat at the end of that year as a family and we said, oh, what did God do this year? And it went quiet. And we were all, and then somebody said, well, he did give us that car. You know how embarrassed I was? I was like, yeah, oh yeah, that, oh yeah, yeah. And there was that vacation, and he did bring us Tyler. Oh yeah. should have been the first one. And you know, we sat down, I kid you not, and then we were like, oh, we had 18 major miracles in that 1 year in our family, but when we had not been diligent to keep the testimonies, we had forgotten 18 of them. It took us 2 or 3 minutes of thinking together to go, to come up with the first one. I remember, oh yeah. God gives us testimonies, and we keep the testimonies so that we can remember and recognize, God, you did something profound. And that's what Jesus told in that story when he healed the 10 lepers, and only one of them came back and said, thanks. Jesus said, but didn't I heal all 10? How come this is the only one who came back and said, gee, thanks, Lord? It's the only one who kept the testimony. Protect. Testimonies protect. Number four, testimonies keep us safe from deception and lies and that hardships and challenges suggest. See, you go through a hard time and a hard patch and there's challenges and there's giants and you go, oh, I don't know what's going on. And we become like Israel, who had seen God break out in power and the glory of God and then the supernatural provisions of God. And the next time they hit one, they go, God wants to kill us again. I'm sure this time he wants to kill us. And they did not keep the testimonies. They did not, if they had just kept the testimonies. Now, let's not pick on them. I want to pick on you. Let's go after you. No, I'm just sorry. I've realized in our life, the Lord has done some supernatural, profound things in vacations. It's our thing with the Lord. The Lord sends us on these vacations. And I can list story after story after story. Every time, it's beautiful. And 3 years ago, we went and looked at a vacation spot, 5-star exclusive private island everything, hot and cold running everything. Way beyond our ability to afford. And my sweet wife said, oh Lord, it would be so nice if we could go there on vacation. And I'm doing the math and going, oh. And she's going, oh Jesus, that would be nice. I wouldn't say a word to anyone. Oh Jesus, that would be nice. Less than a week later, somebody calls us. We have paid for a week for you at that island. We walked in like fat cats. Everybody else there is millionaires, and they go, what do you do? I'm in a ministry. So they go, you had a big church? Yeah. You obviously preach prosperity. So yeah, I believe in prosperity. If you will keep the testimonies, they'll protect you from the lies the enemy wants to put on you next time you're going through a tough time. Because the enemy comes, go, oh, you know, this time you're not going to get through. I go, be quiet. Let me tell you what my God did. Let me tell you about the last time. Let me tell you what he did. After the 3 or 4 testimonies in, faith is locked and you go, no, in Jesus' name, I will not bow to that lie. I will not accept that in my life. You'll find your whole life changed. You go, no, I'm going to see God come through again. And when he comes through again this time, I'll take somebody with me on vacation. Amen. Testimonies will protect you. But Israel did not keep the testimonies. They spoke against God, saying, can God really spread a table in the desert? Okay, when he struck the rock, yeah, okay, then water came out. But he's not going to do it now. You'd think that he said, okay, last time we had desperate need for water, and we said, Lord, and then water comes out of a rock and for 3 million people and their crop and their flocks. You'd think that register. You'd think somebody in there said, like this guy was saying, oh, yeah, yeah, but what have you done for me lately? Oh, that was 2 days ago. Testimonies protect. And there's some of you going through a tough time right now. And you're under the gun and you're under pressure and you're going, what's going on? I just want to say, keep the testimonies. Okay, testimonies will protect you. They'll stop the lies. They'll stop you believing the lies. Suddenly you'll be reoriented, go, no, 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 there's a protection here. Now, the testimonies protect. And it's something I want to get into. Testimonies will arm you. The A. Testimonies arm you. Testimonies are powerful weapons and an integral part of our evangelism. Let me tell you a story. Michelle and I are going for a walk about a month or so back, and we're walking down through our neighborhood, and there's a neighbor that we've never met. See, they just moved in recently, and he's standing on his yard. So we cross his yard to go, so hi. I say, hi, I'm Greg, and this is Michelle. And he goes, hi, and we start talking. Long story short, he tells us a story about his son who's having fits. His son's on a baseball scholarship. He's having seizures, and he's not allowed to drive anymore, and it's put his whole career at risk, and they don't know what's going on. And we've just met this guy, but he doesn't know us from Adam, but he's sharing his heart, right? And so a couple of years back, when our youth went up to Moorhead City, Ty and Lindsay's sister was having multiple seizures a day. And we had this one meeting where there was a supernatural breakout. There was one of the girls who'd twisted her ankle and broken her foot. She'd gone to the doctor, and they had her in a temporary cast, and she was in excruciating pain. She was really, you know, you could see she wasn't faking it, and, you know, when they go white with pain. And so she sat at the back of the meeting with her foot up, and it was like every time somebody came near, she was like, no, don't come near, you know. And in the meeting, one of the guys is, during worship, the Lord says to him, go lay hands on her. And so he does. And he lays hands on her, and she gets supernaturally healed. Just boom, the pain leaves. And so now this girl that we've all seen just crying and hobbling all day is now dancing around the front. And just the spirit just hits the place. Boof, faith. And so Tyler, I believe it was, goes home. He goes, I'm bringing my sister. So he brought his sister into the meeting, told his mom, dad, bring her. And we laid hands on her. And from that day onwards, she was having 8 or 9 seizures a day. She's had one in the last 5 years, right? So God did something for seizures. Now, that has got nothing to do with this guy's son, but he's also having seizures. And so we're just having a conversation. He's going, man, and I go, you know, let me tell you a story. Can I tell you a story? My son-in-law, his sister, we prayed. God healed. And we're going to be praying for your son. You know what he says? He says, I'm so glad somebody's going to be praying for him. Because he hasn't been. Not even entered his mind. But I told him one story, and it's armor. It armed me for evangelism. I didn't have to preach to him. I didn't have to quote any scripture. I didn't have to say, thus saith the Lord. I didn't have to get funky. I didn't have to put on my clerical robes. I just told him a story, a real story, about a real God who did a real thing. And you know what? It doesn't have to be that Haley's completely healed and she's never had an issue again. It just has to be a story of movement. Right? I didn't have to say, you know, she's you know, studying her master's degree now and she's, you know. I didn't have to go there. I just had to say, she used to have this. We prayed. Now she doesn't. We're praying for your son. When I drive past him now, testimonies are how the Lord arms you for evangelism. Amen. We've got bookfuls of testimony right there at the back on the wall. If you want to load up, you know, sometimes you play video games, you have to point the gun down. For the men in the room, they'll understand. You point the gun down, you load, then you go out and shoot. If you want to go load up for evangelism this week, go and read. Because here's the beauty of it. It does not have to be somebody you even know. It doesn't have to be. You can load up with testimonies. You can load up with testimonies that other people have told you. You can load up with testimonies from other churches, from other ages. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Power creates witnesses if you keep the testimony. We pray, something happened. It's just a story. I don't believe God speaks today. That's funny. Last week, my wife got up and brought a word and said, I feel like this is what the Lord is saying. I had 3 people come to me personally and say, that word, that was so helpful to me. Please let Michelle know. A whole bunch of people either texted her or wrote to her or said, that word just changed it. That rocked my world. Thank you for bringing that. See, they've got an opinion. I got a testimony. I got that. Oh, that's interesting. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you my story. And I don't have to make anything up. I don't have to embellish it. I just got... I have a different opinion because this is my testimony. Testimonies create the sea. Testimonies have the power to create momentum as people act on their promise and God comes through again. See, I love this. Somebody gets up and goes, God came through for me financially. And they give the testimony. Somebody out there sits there. It stirs faith in them. They dare to believe God for it, and God does it for them. They get up and testify. Now you've got the weight of two testimonies among us. You go, last week, and it happened to us last week, we go, last week somebody gave this testimony, and then I stood up, and then this is what happened. Now somebody else hearing that testimony says, yeah, it provokes faith. You go, yeah, and now we have a third testimony. After the third testimony, you know what we say? God does this among us all the time. This is what we do. This is how God moves among us. Didn't he do that in your church? You know, it's kind of a little... Because we've now assumed. Because testimonies create momentum. If you keep the testimonies, if you don't keep the testimonies, everybody goes, yay! And then we forget. And then next time hardship hits, we go, oh, what are we going to do? I think God wants to kill me here. Nicole was telling me a story. She had a migraine. She went on a website of another church, and they got testimonies listed out. And she began to read testimonies about people with migraines. And she was reading the testimony. She got on about the fourth testimony about somebody who got healed of migraine and realized that she didn't have migraine anymore. She goes, hey, migraine's gone. Not even people she knows. Testimonies create momentum. And if you'll keep the testimonies, they'll create a momentum in your life. I dare you to write down a testimony in every area that you're trusting God for. Because I promise you, you have them. I promise you, you have them. Because my God is faithful and your God is too. He is faithful and he has produced. And if you'll just sit down and think, okay, healing, provision, family, salvation, desires. If you just pick a category, write it down and ask the Holy Spirit to remind you. He'll remind you of the testimonies of God in your life, not anybody else's. Write them down and start keeping the testimonies. Dare you, before you pray for financial issues, go and take out some testimonies and just read through some testimonies, three or four or five testimonies God done in your life, and let it create a momentum in you. Because you know what starts to happen? You go, I will not accept anything else. I will not bow down to the lies. I will not have any other expectation. This is my God, and Father, I come and I trust you for that to go on in my life. Suddenly a spirit of faith in your prayers. Now you're actually expecting it to come through. Your expectation is not that God wouldn't come through. You're amazed when it doesn't happen quickly. Testimonies create. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Now repeat them in our day. Do it again, Lord. Lord, I know that you came through for us. This is what Habakkuk says. So I've read the history of Israel. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of what you did for us. Do it again. This is our heritage. Do it again in our day and in our time. Make it known. Number 7, are you still with me? Yeah. Testimonies establish. Why does God give testimonies? Because he wants to establish something in you. Testimonies become the heritage of our children and the key and lays a foundation for what God has in store for them. You know what God did with Israel? God said to Israel, I want you to do this. I want you to set up memorials. I want you to set up moments. Right, so memorials. They came through the Red Sea. He said, pick up 12 stones. When Jacob is lying on the rock and he sees heaven open, he picks up the rock, he turns it upside down, he makes it an altar. And God kept on doing this, kept on telling them, make a monument. They said, why? He said, so when your children walk by here, and they say, what is that monument for? You can tell them. This. See that stone, those 12 stones? They used to be in the middle of that river. And our ancestors, when God made this just open, they carried them out from out of the river, and these rocks were right there in the middle of that sea. But see, they go, geez, how could one guy carry that? I don't know. There must have been big guys. But those 12 stones, they used to be in the bottom of that sea, and God made the sea writhe and jump away, and our ancestors came through here. He's the same God that you serve. That's what that draw. They made monuments. And I want to encourage you to make monuments. Make monuments in your house. Photographs, videos. Write them down. Tell the oral stories. They made monuments. And then they made moments. They had a feast. The whole Feast of Tabernacles was a week long where you had to go to Jerusalem and you had to live outdoors. You had to go make yourself a temporary shelter out of leaves and branches. And you had to live in Jerusalem in the Feast of Booths for 7 days to commemorate that God brought us out and we wandered in the desert. God made monuments and he made moments that he required people to have. I love Thanksgiving. What a great idea in our culture. To have a day, it's a moment that as, on a national scale that we say thank you. What a great idea. We discussed with our family once a month having a moment where we stop, look back at the month, and write the testimonies. Keep the testimonies this month and say thank you. There were monuments, there were moments, and there were mutterings. God said, tell your children, when you get up and when you rise, when you talk, when you walk down the road, when you lie on the couch, when you're sitting watching football, when your kids are there and you're holding them tight, you just mutter stuff. Yeah, that's just like the Lord. Talk your way through adverts on TV. That reminds me about, remember the time, mutter. Monuments, moments, and mutterings. How do I establish this in my kids? Monuments, moments, and mutterings. Take some time, because I promise you, one of Michelle's ancestors' great uncle was a man of great faith. Great faith. Traveled the world as a missionary, did profound things. You know, one of the stories I love about him, he was driving through some arid part of the country and his car broke down. And it was boiling hot in the middle of the kind of a desert region. And about 100 yards off the road was a tree. And because of the sun, the way the sun was shining, the only shade was on the other side of the tree opposite to the road. And so he walked out there and sat down against the tree trunk, was basically hidden from the road, sat in the shade and waited. And there's about a car an hour on that road. I mean, there's just very few. And the car, next guy came, and he pulled up, and he looked, and there's an abandoned car. And he looked around, there was no one. He couldn't see anybody. But he was a Christian, and he felt the Lord say, go to that tree. And he walked up to the tree, and he was about 5 paces away from the tree, and he suddenly saw there's a guy sitting there. He goes, oh, hey, can I give you a ride? And he goes, yeah, sure. And he kind of wakes up and goes, yeah, sure, that's great. And he goes, but how did you expect somebody to come if you're just sitting out of sight? And he's all knotted. He goes, God wants me there. He'll get me there. He's like offended. Like, it's part of our heritage. People of faith are part of our heritage. I also had some notorious atheists who were part of my heritage. One of them got saved when he was 86 years old. But up until then, he was a notorious atheist. Best known in England for pouring boiling water on the Salvation Army because they woke him up on Sunday morning beneath his flat. But it's also part of my heritage because even that guy bowed his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our family do. We believe God. So I remember the stories. It's part of our heritage. It's part of my foundation. I dare you to get some stories of God. Go back. I'm telling you now, Michelle's mom was a recent year, I plow her for stories like that. I go, hey, tell me about your dad and your mom and your grandpa and where were they from and what, how did they, where did they serve and why? Because it's part of my foundation. I want my testimonies. I want to keep the testimonies. I want to tell the stories. And I want to gather a repository of the faithfulness and the kindnesses of God. I want to be diligent to keep the testimonies as far back as I can remember. And I want to deposit it for my kids and go, here's what God does for us. So that they have a repository of stories that is not just what God's done for them, what God did in our lives, what God did in everybody else, so that they have stories, so that they're armed with testimonies. I love this Deuteronomy 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that he has revealed belong to us and to our children. When God reveals himself in a testimony to you, he goes, I got some secrets and you don't need to get in. But when I reveal something, that belongs to you. And you can use that because it belongs to you. The things God has revealed to you belong to you and to your children. Keep the testimonies. Keep the testimonies. So I just want to, if I may recap, our pace is set by the testimonies and how well we keep the testimonies. O stands for the offer of God. When God comes in, he gives you a testimony, he's making you an offer. The U stands for unlock. God means to unlock. And I just want to challenge you, if you're sitting with somebody and or if you personally are down and you're feeling deflated and it doesn't feel like there's much faith, bring out some testimonies because they unlock faith and they help set a proper creation and expectation in your head. The R stands for recognize. I tell you a truth, I think you have to recognize what God is doing. And I've told this before, but many years ago, we used to have a rain gauge in our yard. It was just a little thing that you hung out there, and then you'd empty it out. And then, you know, when it rained, you'd go out and see, wow, we had 2 inches of rain. But if you didn't have a rain gauge, you'd just come out in the morning and go, I think it rained last night. It looks a little damp. But the rain gauge made it specific. Testimonies give specificity to the faithfulness of God to you. And they help you recognize. And so just keep that in mind. The P stands for protect. Testimonies will be a protection for you. One of the things that I marvel at is how Israel could see all those miracles and it not register because they didn't keep the testimonies. They arm us for evangelism. Go and try it out. I dare you to try this out with somebody who doesn't believe. Go and lock and load. Go, take in 30 or 40 testimonies. They've happened here among us. Beautiful things that God has done. And I just want to say, if you, as you're sitting there, you're remembering testimonies and you haven't put them out there for us, in the newsletter this week, there will be a link. If you click on that, it'll take you straight to the testimonies page and you can type in there and we'll type it out and we'll put them in there because some of those testimonies, we had to take them to CVS to ask the person behind the counter there to read because you write like doctors, some of you. So like, what does this mean? They translated the testimonies for us. Some of the pharmacists are the only person who can read medical, right, Charles? Pharmacists are the only one who can read the doctor's handwriting. So we'd prefer it if when you get that link this week, you click on it and you type out your testimony. We'll print them out and put them in the books. Because I think we can load ourselves up. We can load with stories. Because it's so much easier to tell a story and so much more effective than trying to quote a scripture or trying to get a point across. Testimonies arm us. And testimonies create. They create momentum. You want to create forward momentum, Godward momentum in your family. Keep the testimonies coming. Keep the testimonies coming. Eventually it becomes, this is what we do. This is what God does among us. This is how we are. This is how God is with us. This is what's normal. Creates that momentum. And lastly, it establishes us, establishes the foundation for the next generation. Now, I want to close this with a somewhat different kind of way of doing this. And I'm taking a little bit of a risk. But I would like to ask some people, I'm just going to ask somebody who if you have a testimony of healing, that God has done something physical in your body, I'm going to ask Tom to come up here with that microphone. And we're going to have somebody for healing. We're going to have somebody who's seen the provision of God recently. God just came through and gave a provision. And then I want somebody other than healing or provision. Any other testimony? Well, let's just have three testimonies right now from people in the congregation who go, I feel like I'd like to share this testimony because God has done something profound for us. And so I'm going to ask if you just think on that. And we're just going to ask some people to come up. Just going to take a... So Keith, come up. That'd be cool. Anybody else? Come. We can have more than one. We can have two. Okay. Now, when you come, if you guys could just keep it as like down to no more than a minute per person, because we just want to get through this as quickly as possible. So preferably 30 seconds. So if you could just tell us the testimony, and we'll stop it right there. But that's very cool. You see, this is not hard. And the point is, God gives you these testimonies for those seven issues. And if you learn to keep the testimonies, you learn to use them like a war club, God gives you impact. So we're just going to run down this, and then we're going to, and then when you've heard the testimonies, I want you to just say, Lord, unlock faith in me. Because when we're finished with these testimonies, we're going to stand together, and we're going to trust God to see breakthrough in all these areas. Amen? So let's just run.
Yeah, Nicole and I, at the beginning of the year, we prayed just that the Lord would help us reach some financial goals, some things that we're going after. And not even a few days after that, my boss approached me about wanting to extend my sales territory. That's what I do for a living. And so it just opened up a huge avenue and opportunity for increased commissions. Praise and so we've been just praying for that. Yeah.
Praise God.
I was diagnosed two different times with breast cancer, and God healed me. When they did the surgery, there was not a single cancer cell when the surgery took place both times. No, awesome. But amen. I also had a tumor in my neck and my salivary gland. It took two surgeries to get it out. After the second surgery, my right side of my face was totally paralyzed. I could not even blink. I had to tape my eye closed the night. And God has restored almost 100%, and I expect a full 100% movement of the right side of my face.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God.
Several weeks ago, I had severe pain in my lower back, and it was very uncomfortable to get in and out of chairs, get in and out of bed, or anything like that. And I prayed with Marissa Grasso, and it was healed immediately.
A few years ago, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and the doctor said that the best way to treat it was medicine because of where it was and what they were doing. And the Lord got a hold of my heart, and over the course of some time, he showed me some things that he really wanted to heal in my heart, and then he took the brain tumor, and it was gone.
Praise God.
So we had been believing a long time for buying a house, and so we wrote down like a list of stuff we wanted in the house, knowing it was more than what we could probably afford. Mm-hmm. And when God provided the house, he just checked off everything on our list, more than we had wanted. And when we went to the closing table to give them our down payment, they actually gave us money back.
Yeah.
Praise God.
I've had three major healing miracles in my life. I had one in my 20s. I had an incurable problem with my knees and terrible pain when I sat still instead of walking. And I was healed at a Catherine Kuhlman service before it even began, while we were sitting and waiting for it to start. And then I caused an automobile accident on the Bay Bridge. I was at fault. And by the end of that incredible day, I got home and was exhausted and lay down to go to sleep. And the pain from the seatbelt in my chest where it caught my sternum was just astronomical. And I said, Lord, you said you would take away what we can't handle. I can't handle this. The pain was gone. I had the discomfort of a bruise. That was nothing compared to the pain. Last summer, I was offered a job here, and right at that time, I was sitting in the parking lot at a grocery store, and I saw in the mirror something on my face that didn't look right, and I've had some precancers taken off over the years, and I went home, and I looked at it, and I looked it up on the internet, and it looked like cancer, but looked like a slow-growing cancer, and I thought, you know, I don't have 2 hours to go to a doctor. It's just going to have to wait. And I did not have time to get to a doctor here until December. And I never was concerned about it, but I knew I needed to do due diligence and have it looked at. went to see a dermatologist, and she looked at it, and she said, yeah, and there's a blood vein there, and
can we just,
I'm like,
can you just cut
no
it
fear.
Shorter there.
And
we just need to make it short. Thanks.
Went to the dermatologist in January, and he said, oh, you just have a blocked oil gland on your face, and he punctured it.
I shared this in the prayer group this morning. I felt to share it again. I was supposed to be born 3.5 months after I was. I was 3.5 months premature. This was back in the late 50s when premature babies didn't do well. And they didn't know what was wrong with me. I wasn't doing well. And after 2 weeks of being alive, they did a surgery on me, and I had a problem with my colon. My appendix had ruptured in my mother's womb. It had choked off the intestines. I had, instead of peritonitis, I had full gangrene all over inside my colon. And they operated. They told my parents a 1 out of 10,000 chance of living. My parents went to the funeral home. They actually did this and made my funeral arrangements and picked out a casket for me. And I didn't do anything but rest in the Lord. I didn't even know anything. I was only 2 weeks old. And I just waited. I just laid there, and people were praying for me. Last thing to say is my mother was begging God to heal me, and then she, after a couple of weeks, prayed differently and just gave me to the Lord and said, he's yours. And that's when I turned around. I got home 6 months later out of the hospital. They took me home, and long prior, they had canceled the funeral arrangements.
Praise God.
Last week, some Northlands ladies went and prayed for in the red light districts. It's called Princess Nights with another church in town. And one of the ladies came off the streets with us that night. She's in a safe house now. So praise God.
Yay. Praise God.
I have a story that's something that happened to me not so long ago. A friend of ours who's a homeschooler, a single mom. She called me. It was actually by accident. She was trying to get hold of Elsa, and she called from the hospital and said her little 8-year-old boy had been in a skateboard accident, and he'd smashed his head, and the blood was everywhere on the brain and all over his face, and he was, I don't know, 6 or 7 places where his bones were broken, and the doctors were despairing whether he'd live. And they said, look, even if he lives, look, he's going to be brain damaged. He's not going to be able to see out of the one eye, and he'll never walk again. And just as she shared this, there's this sense of, no, we just don't accept this. I refuse. I just said to her, look, we're not going to accept that, right? That's just someone else's testimony. God's got a better testimony. We're going to believe for complete 100% healing for this child. I think she was so much in shock, she just agreed with me. So we prayed together, and it was amazing. Every single week, she would phone back and say, hey, that thing the doctor said was going to happen, that he's going to be brain injured, they reckon he's going to be okay. And then, hey, 2 weeks later, he can see out of his eye. And I think it was like 10 weeks later or 12, I can't remember, he walked out of the hospital perfect in every single way. And today is totally normal.
Praise God. Praise God. All right. If you have a need, let me just read some of what the ministry team were waiting beforehand. They said someone with shoulder pain, someone with pain in their right calf, someone with limited movement in the right hand, someone who's struggling to receive God's love, and somebody who felt like that God was calling people out of isolation, a sense of isolation and rejection, and God wants to renew perceptions and old thinking. That's just a number of things. If you have a need, a financial need, a business need, a healing need, a need for someone in your family to come to know the Lord, or any other need that is representative of where you are, I'm going to ask you to stand. It's pretty much all of us, I'm assuming, and we're just going to agree together, and we're gonna just use the testimonies, what God has done, and so let's agree together. And Father, we come in Jesus' name, just so deeply grateful for your kindness to us, Lord, for the many, many, many things that you've done, Lord. If we were to pull this room and get all the stories, Lord, that would be too numerous to tell. And that's simply the truth, Lord. And Lord, you said keep the testimonies. And so, Lord, we're going to try our best. And we ask that you teach us and how to become better and better at this, Lord. How to become better at keeping the testimonies and telling the testimonies and using the testimonies for the things that you intended testimonies to do. But Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I say, I release to, Lord, those people who have sicknesses and diseases, I release the healing that Jesus already purchased on the cross. You said, Lord, if it has been loosed in heaven, we can loose it on earth. And Lord, into every person who's standing for sickness or disease, we loose the healing of God in Jesus' name. We bind up brokenness. We bind up cancers. We bind up sicknesses and diseases. And we say, in the name of Jesus, we break you off God's people. But Lord, we release your healing right now. We loose it right now. We say, health and life is theirs in Jesus' name. Lord, where every place where there is a lack, a financial lack, in Jesus' name, you are the God who has gone before to see to it, Lord. And we thank you that provision was loosed in heaven, and so we loose it now to your people. We thank you, Lord, that along with that provision comes the wisdom to employ that finances for the glory of God. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Supernatural breakthroughs this week, we're trusting you for, in Jesus' name. For everybody, Lord, who has somebody in that they love on their heart who has not yet come to know you, we lift those people up and we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, breakthrough. Breakthrough to them, Lord. Give us the things to say, Lord. Put people around them who will help them. But we thank you for salvation to come to our families, Lord. Salvation in our workplaces. Salvation among our friends, Lord. The greatest miracle of all, Lord, that they should come to know the God who loved them. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray for all those people who are standing for things that they want and they don't necessarily have to have. I pray for those people, Lord, who have stood and said, Lord, it would be so nice if you would. And I pray for them, Father, that you would reveal yourself again as the God who cares about his children and who has in his heart not just the things we need, Lord, but the things that you give generously to all with, so that we may enjoy. And I pray for the enjoyment and the favor that comes, Lord, on the other side of that provision. I pray for supernatural breakthroughs for people. I pray that in the small things and in the large things, you would be made manifest. And I pray, Lord, for a slew of miracles. And I pray, Lord, for a great slew of testimonies. And that as we get up next week and we tell the stories about how kind you've been, that, Lord, it would be like the beginning of a tidal wave of momentum that begins to grow and explode through the city and explode through this nation because the testimonies of God are being kept and being diligently altered and favored. Lord, I pray your blessing on your people. I pray for release in every situation. And I thank you for a significant move this week. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you.